All right, welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. Thank you all for coming out. Or go ahead and pull out your hymnals and turn to song number 212. Song number 212. Song number 212, O Happy Day. Amen. Now go ahead and turn your hymnals to song number 22. Song number 22, Are You Washed in the Blood? Song number 22, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Soul cleansing blood of a lamb.
I'll go ahead and pull out your bulletins. If you don't have one, there's some in the back. Brother James can get you one. Just raise your hand if you need one. All right, for our memory verse of the week is Psalms 47:7. For the God is the King of the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. If you're able to quirk that verse by next Thursday and you're under 18, you're able to get a free ice cream with your parents' permission, of course. And service times will be Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m., Thursday evening, 7 o'clock p.m. Church-wise soul winning, we have all the times and respective leaders there, and we have our church stats. Do we have any salvations to report for this three? Amen. Keep up the great soul winning. And our upcoming guest preachers, we have Pastor Stephen Anderson on July 7th. And we have Brother Chris Aguirre, obviously, here for us tonight and to preach for us. It's always a blessing. We also have our expecting ladies. We have Corrine Darnell expecting in June and Christian Roger expecting in to be announced. Upcoming events, we have August 10th through the 20th, the Steadfast Mighty Men's Conference. And prayer requests, we have the Goodwin family, Brother Edward, Sister Liberty's daughter-in-law, Brother Joel, and First Works Baptist Church for blessings. So you keep those prayer requests in your prayers. And if you have any other prayer requests, you can also email Pastor Shelley at purewords.com. And also some church reminders, just keep your kids under supervised, keep them off the stage, keep them off the piano. And with that, we'll just turn to our third song. Song number three. Third song. Song number three. Jesus paid it all. Your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 2. Brother James would come read for us. I'll pass the offering plate. Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. And the Bible reads, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is, it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for this service. Please fill Brother Segura with your spirit so he can preach your word and your truth boldly. Please fill us with your spirit so we can receive what he has prepared. Your will be done in the services. Please bless the services, God. And thank you so much for all of your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So the title of my sermon tonight is Lies in the Bible. Lies in the Bible. So I want you to look down right there in Genesis chapter number 2, verse 15. And it says this, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now let me ask you this, does it say anything about touching it and they'll die? No, it's clear. If they eat, they will die. Just remember that. Let's keep reading. Verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. So let me ask you this. When God said that thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Was he talking to Adam, Adam and Eve, or was he talking to Eve? He was talking to Adam. Eve was not alive yet. She was not created yet. Amen. How do we know? Because it says, but for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. Meaning that he didn't have a woman to help him out. He didn't have a wife. And we'll find out in a second that that's true. Verse number 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. So once again, when he said, don't eat, he was talking to Adam. He was not talking to both of them. He was talking to Adam, and then Eve comes later. She comes right here in verse 22 where it says he took the rib, and God made a woman and brought her onto the man. And it even says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Why? Because not a shameful thing, you know, for a man and his wife to be in that situation. You know, but the verse that I wanted you to see in verse 2 is that it clearly says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Just wanted to bring that up again. Now go to the next chapter, Genesis chapter number 3. Go to Genesis chapter number 3, just flip the page, or if you're right there, because you got one of those Bibles that has tiny print, and you can have like five, you know, chapters in one page. Praise the Lord, you got great eyesight, amen? But for us old folks with the big giant print, we can probably just have one chapter per page, amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. Genesis chapter number 3, verse 1 says this, now the serpent, that's Satan. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And look what Eve says. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God, she's saying, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, which is 100% true. But look at this part. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, did we see that in chapter 2? No, we did not see that in chapter 2. But let's keep reading. Verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, that is a flat-out lie. Because we know that God said, thou shalt surely die. But it says in verse 5, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Once again, let me remind you what we found in verse 17 from chapter 2. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But what did Eve say? Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. I don't think God said anything about touching it, and we'll find out why. Now, here's the thing. This is what I think. This is what I right now think based on the verses we're about to read. I don't think God ever said anything about touching it. I don't know where that came from. I don't know if Adam was just being overprotective, and he said, God doesn't want us to eat of it. As a matter of fact, don't even touch it. And then she interpreted that as God said it. I don't know. Maybe that's how it went down. I don't know. Maybe she made it up. Maybe she felt like, well, if God doesn't want us to eat it, surely he doesn't want us to touch it. And maybe she just thought that's what God meant. Maybe she came up with it. I don't think Satan taught it to her, because she's telling it to Satan like it's the first time he's ever heard it. But let's just keep reading really quickly. And the thing is this, if I'm right, I ended up Googling, like, what's the first lie ever? I just kind of wanted to see what people would say, you know? And of course, I came across this. I just Googled, what was the first lie or the first ever lie? And this is what came up. Just a Google search. I don't even know what it was. You know how it has all those questions, like who was the first man? You click on it, it gives you an answer. It doesn't tell you where it comes from. So somebody wrote it, but this is what they said. They said the first lie recorded in the Bible is that of the devil, who lied by adding to the word of God. God told Adam and Eve that if they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they will surely die. Now this thing is all messed up. That's exactly how I copied it and pasted it. It's all messed up, and I'm pretty sure I know that they know they messed up, but they didn't care. Because first of all, God didn't tell Adam and Eve. God just told Adam. That's just a fact. Whether you believe it or not, hey, read chapter 2, you'll figure it out. Eve was after he said it. Amen? But sure enough, either they knew that this was a mistake and they didn't care, or they flat out don't know that the devil told them that they would not. But when they copied and pasted it, it says that they told them that they would surely die. No, he didn't. He said that they will not. That's what was enticing to Eve. Like, you know? Well, I think that's a good thing then, to be smart and wise and know that I'll be as a God. You know, but that's what came up. That's what came up in the internet. But let's look at verse 6. It says, and when a woman saw that tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did what? Eat. And I'm going to tell you right now, this world is filled with lies. It's just unbelievable how many lies are just everywhere. They come at you from all different angles. Just on my Uber drive here, I literally just asked this man. And the reason I asked him is because he asked me first. He's like, hey, where are you from? I'm from Phoenix. What are you doing out here? I'm going to go preach at a church right now. What church is it? It's Pure Words Baptist. And he's like, really? Never heard of it. Oh, you will. You will. That's what I'm thinking. And then he says, well, you know what? I'm a minister too. I'm like, really? I got a question for you. And I simply just asked him a simple question. Like, hey, what do you believe was the first lie in the Bible? I just want to see what he had to say. Well, he messed it all up. I don't remember exactly what he said, but let me put it this way. He messed it all up. And then when I try to ask him, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I don't think it was a literal fruit. I think it was figurative. I think what she ate that lie. And once she ate that lie, that's when she died spiritually. But hold up. It says she took of the fruit and she ate of the fruit. So I'm trying to explain to him why I think it was literal, because it says she took it. Well, you need to read the Bible more. And this guy's a minister? He flat out told me, I'm a minister. I didn't ask him what church or whatever, but that's what he claimed to be. And he can't even figure out that it was literal, because it says really clearly that when the woman saw the tree was good for food. For food. If it was just like figuratively speaking that she just ate the lie and therefore she died spiritually, makes no sense when you see these verses. Saw it. It was good for food, pleasant to the eyes. She took it. And guess what? She ate. It says she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they soaked fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Nothing about touching. And I'm wondering, if he really said that, shouldn't he be backed up somewhere else? And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? Well, let's keep reading. For the sake of time, let's just skip to verse number 17. You're right there at your Bible. Go to verse number 17. And it says this. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it. Didn't say anything about touching. I don't see it. Did you guys see it? I mean, he told Adam, hey, don't eat. Nothing about touching. Then the next chapter, hey, did you eat? I told you not to eat. Did you eat? And of course he said, I told you not to eat. Nothing about touching. Now we look at 17 once again. He mentions eating, but nothing about touching. So what am I getting at, brother girl? I don't know. Could it be possible that what Eve said was actually a lie? I think so. Okay, let me give you the definitions of lying. What is a lie? If you have your Bibles, go to Genesis 12. You're not going to find the definition of lying in Genesis 12, but I'm just saying go to Genesis 12 because that's where I'm going to go next. But let me just give you a few things when I looked up on dictionary.com about lie, the word lie. It says this. A false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive, an intentional untruth. That's not what we see with Eve. She wasn't trying to intentionally deceive the devil. She wasn't trying to do that. And it was an intentional untruth. That I'm not sure. Maybe God did say it. Maybe she said it, and maybe she just quoted him, and God just quoted himself as saying, hey, I told you not to eat. But then it says this, and the second one, something intending or serving to convey a false impression. That's not what Eve did. She was not trying to impress the devil by driving up in a Ferrari that she doesn't even own to give the devil the impression that she's balling. You know, that's not what happened here. That's what it means, a lie, something intended or serving to convey a false impression. And yeah, there's a lot of people like that that drive nice, fancy cars, making you think there's something that they're not, trying to impress the Joneses. And guess what? Later on, it gets towed because they can't pay the payments. It happens all the time. But we can say, hey, that car right there, that's just a lie. That dude doesn't have any money. You know, I don't know what he's doing. He can't afford that thing. I know how much he makes. And later on, it's like, yo, where's your car? It happened to my boss when I was working at Fry's Electronics. He had a really nice SUV, super nice SUV. Later on, hey, where's the SUV? I haven't seen you riding it before. Got told, couldn't afford it. But he was trying to make people think that he was successful. I figured, hey, you know what? I need something to show people I'm successful too. I'm an assistant manager at a Fry's Electronics store. You know what? It's time I got something to show people what's up. Big mistake, because then Fry's Electronics started going bankrupt. And so went his vehicle. But here's another definition. An inaccurate or untrue statement. That's kind of what I see with Eve. I don't think she was deceitful, and I don't think she was trying to sin. But one thing that people like to say is the lying is always a sin. But I want to show some lies in the Bible to kind of give us an idea of how God thinks and how he sees things. Because aren't there a lot of people in the Bible that lie? Obviously, we see the devil, he lied. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not 100% sure what's going on with Eve and this whole touching thing. But I don't think that's what God said. I don't think she said anything about touching. But whether you think it is or it's not true, one thing we know for sure is that the devil did lie. He lied for sure. So that is a fact, a lie we see in the Bible. Here's another lie that we see in the Bible. When Abraham lies to Pharaoh. You're right there in Genesis 12. Let's just quickly look at that story. And it says, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman. Fair meaning beautiful. Thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, and she was very fair. The princess also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and asses and manservants and maidservants and she-asses and camels. But the Lord plagued. It says the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So here we see a lie. He's saying she's my sister. Why did Abram lie? Because he was scared. It doesn't say that in this chapter. But we know later on from another incident he has that he has an issue with lying, especially when he gets scared. And you could tell even from the beginning of the story, he's like, hey, they're going to slay me. He's afraid. He's scared. And he lied. He lied not because he was trying to deceive Pharaoh into thinking he was rich, because he wasn't. But why did he do it? In this situation, he lied because he was scared. And a lot of people lie because we get scared. So that's why it's a good thing to be a righteous person, because the Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion. And that's what should be our goal, is to be bold. One way is to clean up your life. Clean it up. Try to be an honest person so you don't end up lying in this situation. And in this situation, I believe that what Abraham did was sinful. It was wrong. Look what happened. Pharaoh wasn't blessed. He was plagued. Last time I checked, being plagued is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. But let's go to Genesis chapter number 20. Let's go to Genesis 20. Here we see another one of Abraham's lies, another lie in the Bible. This is still Abraham, the same character as the one we just saw. But this time he lies to Abimelech, and we get a better idea as to why he keeps doing these things, why he keeps lying. He has a problem with lying. It says in Abraham, go to verse number 1, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. He's doing it again. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sinned and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art a blessed man. He doesn't say that. He says, thou art a dead man. A dead man. So here, sure enough, Abraham lies to Abimelech. And Abimelech doesn't even know what's going on. He doesn't realize he's just been lied to. And because of Abraham's lie, it almost causes him his life. How do we know? Because it says, thou art but a dead man. He's like, I'm about to kill you. It almost cost him his life, but you know the story if you read it. Verse number 4. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Say he not unto me, she is my sister. And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. And then we can skip to verse number nine. It says this. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And why have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that are not to be done. Even they have the common knowledge to realize that what you're doing is wrong. Lying like this is not right, Abraham. They're rebuking him. Abimelech is rebuking him. And even Abraham, you know, accepts the rebuke. Because Abraham, it says right there, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, what's thou thing? Thou hast done this thing. And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. The exact same thing that happened. So with Pharaoh, doesn't go well. God is not pleased with Abraham. Saves his neck. But yet again, Abraham does it again. Lies about his wife. Sure enough, he almost caused the death of an innocent man. God even said, yeah, I know you're innocent. That's why I kept you from sinning against me. So we need to be careful because our lies could hurt innocent people. So you got to be careful when you look at people, when you look at these lies in the Bible, they're there for a reason. They're an example unto us that we can learn from them and get an idea how God feels about lies, especially when it's a situation like this, when you're fearful. What can we learn from this story? As fearful as you are, don't make the situation worse by trying to lie your way out of it or trying to take things into your own hands instead of trusting the Lord and letting integrity guide you. You decide to lie to get ahead. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to get ahead, but he was also afraid for his life. Now he's kind of like double scared or something. But here we can learn that, listen, God in this situation is not happy with the way things are going. He's not happy with Abraham. And I'm sure Abraham figured it out. Abimelech sure enough figured it out. When God told him specifically, what you're doing is going to cost you to die. You need to fix this. And he's like, whoa, I didn't know. You know I'm innocent. I know you're innocent. Now go fix it. Now let's take another look. Another look into another lie we see in the Bible. And this is where Sarah lies to God. Now, lying to man is bad. But come on, lying to God? Let's learn something from that. Let's learn from Sarah lying to God Almighty. Genesis 18, if you can, go backwards. Chapter 19, chapter 18. Flip, flip, flip. Look. Verse 13. Genesis 18, 13. Let's take a look at this story. It says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I live a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied. But who is she talking to? Well, let's find out. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay. Talk about God. God's the one saying nay. But thou didst laugh. Now go to Acts chapter number 5. Now we know that she lied because what is a lie? Once again, it's a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. She said, I didn't laugh because she's trying to deceive God, thinking that she can fool God into believing that she really didn't laugh at him because she didn't believe his promise. She's like, what? I'm old. What do you mean I'm going to have a child? She's like laughing like, really? God, you're crazy. And God's like, what? Why are you laughing? I didn't laugh. And she lies. She makes the situation worse. Instead of like, I'm sorry, forgive me, Lord, you know? She's literally laughing at God. And then she lies, you know, to God, lies straight to him. But what you can see is that God just kind of lets it go. Does he not? He doesn't. He doesn't do, I mean, is she dead? Think about it. She lied to God. Or am I off? What did she lie to, Abraham or God? God, because what does he say? Nay, you did lie. That's what he says. But let's look at another person that also lied to God, and let's see what happened to them. So you're right there in Acts, right? So this story of Sapphira and Ananias, or Ananias and Sapphira, hey, they lied to God as well. So let's take a look. Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep part of the price of the land? While it is remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto who? God. Same thing that Sarah did. She lied to God straight to his face. At least they lied to a man's face. But they were still lying to God. And what does it say? It says, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. So much for that theory that the Old Testament God is this mean, evil God with no mercy. But the New Testament God, he's much more merciful. Not based on what we just saw. Because think about it. Sarah lied straight to God's face. Nothing happened. And Ananias and Sapphira, they lie and they drop dead. What was the difference? Sarah was not deliberately trying to lie to God, like trying to deceive him. It just happened because we have a sinful nature. Similar to why did Eve say that God said not to touch it either? Because that's just how God made us. He didn't make us robots, perfect machines that never make mistakes. He made us human beings with free will. The ability to love him because we want to, not because we have to. He gave us choice when he said, hey, don't eat of it. But she took it upon herself because she has emotions like us. Short-term memory like us. You think she was different than us? No. I bet you they had the ability to forget things as well. And maybe the story wasn't as clear when she was telling it to Satan as when she heard it from her husband. Maybe she thought her husband said not to touch it. But whether it came from Adam or her own heart, or whatever the case, based on how God kept bringing up the fact that I told you not to eat, I commanded you not to eat twice, and nothing about touching, kind of leads me to think that that's probably the first lie in the Bible. Because it wasn't an accurate statement what she said. I never said not to touch it. But yeah, what happened? Did God strike her dead? No. He did not strike her dead. Now, I'm not giving you permission to lie. Kids are like, yes, I love the sermon. All right. Mom, you're listening? Woo, be merciful, just like God, you know? That's not what I'm getting at. I'm just giving you examples of these lies in the Bibles that will teach us something. And I think it'll help you at the end of the service. You'll see where I'm going with this. So we already saw Abraham lie twice. His wife lies. Well, geez, I mean, birds of the same feather flock together, huh? It's just what seems to happen sometimes, you know? Abraham lies, Sarah lies. It's like, whoa, not a coincidence. Help each other out, people. But then what happens? Ananias and Sapphira, they lied, and what happened to them? They didn't get the mercy that Abraham and Sarah got. Absolutely not, because they knew better. They knew better. And they were trying, like it says, they were making a false statement with the deliberate intent to deceive. They knew they were lying. They sold land, try to look like heroes, try to look like givers. You know, the whole Amber Heard thing. Hey, I gave $7 million. Did you actually give $7 million, Amber Heard? Well, I pledged it. Wait a minute. He's like, did you give it or did you not give it, Amber Heard? Well, I pledged it. That's not my question. Well, I use pledge and give the same. Well, I don't. Did you give $7 million or not? Well, to this day, I haven't. But I'm going to. That's not the same. You know, it's a lie. You didn't give the money. But look how crazy this woman is. If you don't know what I'm talking about, good for you. Good for you. But if you don't, quickly, it was just some actress. She's on YouTube all day long, it seems. I don't know how long this trial is going to go. But she lies her face off a lot. One of the things that she got caught lying is how much she donated. She divorced some Hollywood star. She got $7 million, didn't want to seem like a gold digger, told everyone she donated it. And even like, what, 5 days ago, a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, she's been claiming for over a year that she gave $7 million to charity, ACLU and the Children's Hospital. ACLU doesn't serve any charity money. I don't know how they're a charity money, but whatever. But anyway, she ended up supposedly giving this money, and it turns out she never gave anything. She lied. Kept telling people, I gave, even when she's on the stand. Well, to me, pledging is the same as giving. That's not reality, weirdo. But this is the same thing that Ananias and Sapphira are doing. Yeah, we gave, you know, half-truths. But still, God punished them for that severely. They lost their lives. So think about that, kids. Don't think you're going to be like Sarah. Well, I did lie, but, you know, you got to probably treat me like Sarah. Or you could treat you like Ananias and Sapphira. So we need to be careful with what our intent is when bad, false things come out. But let's keep looking at these other stories. Here's another one. Jacob lies to his father Isaac. If I didn't tell you to go to Genesis 27, go to Genesis 27. Jacob lies to Isaac. And what goes around definitely comes around. Jacob is a perfect example of that. So let's take a look at his lie. And there's a bunch of lies in the Bible. And sorry for those that tuned in thinking I'm going to be preaching on about how there's mistakes in the Bible and there's all these made-up things in the Bible, all these lies in the Bible. The Bible was written by man. We cannot trust it. You know, no, this ain't that type of sermon. Even though, yes, the title is a little clickbait-ish. Lies in the Bible. Pastor's like, what? He's like, he never told me he thought there were lies in the Bible. There are zero lies in the Bible. By now, if you haven't figured out the title, God help you. So let's take a look at another lie that we see in the Bible. This is the lie of Jacob, where Jacob lies to his father Isaac. Genesis 27, go ahead and look at verse number 22. Verse number 22 says this, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, even after he blesses him, you know, you can tell that Isaac's kind of doubting. So he says, and he said, art thou my very son Esau? Notice he says, my very son. It's like, are you really Esau? Are you really my son Esau? And look at this. Instead of backing out and feeling bad and saying, Dad, okay, it's me, Jacob. I'm sorry. Mom made me do it. You know? Instead of just saying, hey, Dad, this is what is not him. I'm sorry, Dad. Forgive me. He continues. He continues. And he said, I am. Flat out lied to his dad. Why? Because he's afraid? Nope. That's not why. Because it happened to slip out like Sarah? Nope. That's not why. Why is he lying? Because he wants the blessing. He wants the blessing. You can say, no, his mom wanted the blessing. Listen, at the end of the day, nobody can make you do squat. Nobody can. You do it because you want to do it. You and I both know we can back out of anything, even if it costs us our lives. So it's not like his mom had a knife. Like, if you don't go get that blessing, I'm going to stab you. That was not the case. He did it because he also wanted the blessing. He wanted it. So he went and he stole it. And so why do people lie? Because they're afraid. Sometimes it slips out. It just happens. How God made us. The whole Eve thing, you know? He said not to touch it. That's just how we are. So don't go crazy if somebody says something is not accurate. Hey, it happens because we're human. That's just how God made us. But I hope you're not like Abraham, lying your face up because you're scared, or like Jacob because you want the blessings, the money, whatever. Not good. Let's take a look at another lie in the Bible. Go to Genesis 29:18. Hey, Jacob lied to his dad. Now Laban's lying to Jacob. What goes around comes around. Let's see what's going on in this story. Genesis 29:18. So Jacob lies to his father, and then now God allowed Jacob to get deceived himself, to be lied to himself. Genesis 29:18. If you're fast enough, you can get there. If not, meet me in Genesis 29:21. I'm going to start with verse number 18. It says, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. So he promised his daughter Rachel if he serves him. So he serves him 7 years. And they sent him out to him but a few days for the love he had to her. Man, that's a sermon that needs to be preached. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. So instead of giving him Rachel, he gives him Leah. He lied to him, saying, yeah, you served me for 7 years. I'll give you Rachel. He knew he wasn't going to give her Rachel. But he lied to him. He lied to him. Verse 25, and it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Hey, how does it feel to be deceived, buddy? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Yep, you sure did. What happened? He lied to you. He even says, wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Old-fashioned way of saying, why did you lie to me? Why? Well, why did he lie? Once again, because he wanted money. How? How? He had a guy that was working for basically nothing. And he knew, hey, I'm getting blessed because of you. So he didn't want to keep them because he loved them. He thought he was a great worker. He just wanted all the blessings himself. So why do people lie? Well, why did Abraham lie? Afraid. What happened with Sarah? Human. Just slipped. It just happens. What happened with Laban? He's evil. That's just the bottom line. He's an evil dude. What happened with Jacob? He allowed himself to become an evil dude too. So we see these lies, and it hasn't even hit the other books yet. We're all in Genesis. And speaking of Genesis, let's talk about Potiphar's wife. Let's talk about why a woman will lie to her husband. Genesis 39. Go to Genesis 39. And this one is recent. This thing happens a lot. Unfortunately, it happens a lot. Just heard of a sports guy who got arrested for sexual assault. And man, those things seem to happen all the time. Hey, that's the life. That's the life you wanted to live, the fornicating lifestyle. Well, that's the risk you're going to take. So sure enough, he got arrested for sexual assault. And I guess about a month ago, the police said, not enough evidence. Not enough evidence. We just had to arrest them and see what happens. And then they investigated it, and it was so weak. They let the guy go. Not enough evidence. It was just hearsay. It was just a weird text. It could have been interpreted either way. You know how guys are whenever they do something to some girl and then they throw it to the side. They'll mock her and say whatever they need to say, and they'll make up stuff to make themselves seem cool. That was kind of what happened in this situation. And most people are like, man, I don't know. You know, why would she do that? Why did Potiphar's wife lie? Let's take a look. Genesis 39, 7 through 8, verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, whose master? Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. That's an old-fashioned way of saying that she wanted to have a physical relationship with him outside of marriage. She wanted to commit adultery. But he refused. Good on him. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. Verse number 13. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house, and spake unto them, saying, see, he has brought in the Hebrew, talking about her husband, brought in this Hebrew. This Hebrew is Joseph, unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me. That's a lie. Saying this guy came in trying to commit adultery with me. He came in to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. She's flat out lying. Why? Why is she lying? Is she scared? No. Is it an accident? It just slipped? Nope. Is it money? No. She's rich. She's married to Potiphar. The guy has a business and employees and Joseph as his right-hand man. The guy is rich. He has money. She has Gucci, all the clothes and everything else, you know. It's like, why would she do it? Because she wants revenge. Because she's evil. She wants revenge. And don't people lie? Why did this girl lie about this athlete? She wanted revenge. Because guess what? He used her and he was done. He moved on to the next girl. She was loose. She wanted to just commit fornication with this dude. Maybe he suckered her. Maybe he didn't. Maybe she just didn't care at the time. And now she did when she saw him having fun with all these other females and decided to say, hey, this guy raped me. Here's my evidence. Look at these text messages. The cops are like, whoa, what happened? He held me down and he did this and that and whatever. And then the cops were like, well, did you tell him to stop? Yeah, what happened when you told him to stop? He stopped. It's like, that's not rape. That's you guys not wanting to do that act anymore. But why? Why did she go to the cops? She wanted revenge. She wanted revenge. That's what it came down to. Why is Potiphar's wife lying? Because she wants revenge. So why do people lie? Well, like Abraham, scared to death. Hey, like Sarah, it slips. It happens. Sure enough, people love money. They lie to get ahead in life. They lie to get riches. Sales, insurance guys, selling stuff, life insurance people, selling stuff, making stuff up, making it sound better than it really is. Why did they do that? Because they want the sale. They want the money. Why is this woman lying? Guess why she's lying? She's lying because she's wicked and she wants vengeance. That's why she's lying. Same reason that the devil lied to Eve. Why? Because she saw how good they had it. He wanted it. He wanted to go destroy her. Lie to her. To destroy her and Adam. And it worked. It worked. But what else can we see in the Bible? Let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 1. 35 minutes in, I got 10 more to go. Try to wrap it up in 10 minutes. If not, worst case scenario, I'll finish in 25. But I just want to talk about these people, these lies in the Bible that we see. They're there to teach us about lies, teach us how God feels. But now let's kind of take a little bit of a different direction here. Let's take a look at some lies that are kind of interesting in the Bible. The other ones are clear. Abraham, what are you doing? Hey, I need to take heed lest I get so fearful and lie my face off whenever I get scared. Or, you know what, I don't want to get so crazy about money that I'll do whatever it takes to get it, including lie my face off to my clients. You know what, I need to watch myself so I don't become a false witness and accuse my brother in Christ of something that he's not really doing. And it will happen, and it has happened in our church. Somebody says, hey, this person said this. We go investigate it, and it doesn't seem to be the case. It just happens. Why? Once again, vengeance, whatever, envy, bitterness, whatever you have towards this person is what's causing you to lie and make up things to get this person, I don't know, to be looked at in a bad way. That's what Potiphar's wife wanted. Hey, this guy tried to lay with me because now she wanted everybody to hate him. Wanted her husband to hate this individual, and he did. So much, he grabbed him and put him in prison because she was just this evil woman that lied her face off. No conscience, nothing. Didn't say, husband, I lied. He's innocent. Let him go. Let him out. She didn't feel any sympathy for him. None at all. But now let's take a look at Exodus chapter number 1, verse 18. It says this. It says, and the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing? And if you know the story, Pharaoh ordered the midwives to kill all the men children that are born, to throw them into the river and kill them all, but to allow the females to live because he was afraid they were going to get so big, so powerful, and basically destroy him and his people and take over. He was afraid of that. So he's lying to the midwives, you know, hey, you know what? We need to do X, Y, and Z to make sure our nation prospers. It was all about power. It's all about money. That's why he's saying what he's saying. It has nothing to do with wanting to do the right thing. He doesn't really care about his people. He wants to be in power. That's what he really cares about. Who are you fooling, Pharaoh? It says, and the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and a delivered heir, the midwives come in unto them. So he's saying, hey, what's going on? Why aren't you putting these children to death? Why are they still alive? And they lie. They're like, hey, we try to get to them before they have birth, but they give birth so quick. You know, by the time we get there, it's over. Nothing we can do about it. They lie. Why did they lie? To save their hides. To save their hides against a maniac, against a psychopath, against the worst of the worst, a reprobate that literally ordered children to be tossed into the river and to kill all the little boys and let the females live because they don't fear the females. And it says this, remember, they lied. Where's the lie? Verse 19. Because what did they say? They said these Hebrew women, says they're not like the Egyptian women, for they're lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore, God dealt very angry with the midwives. Is that what it says? No, it does not. It's interesting. They lied. It's a clear lie. That's not what happened. They delivered the babies and then gave the babies to the moms. And then Pharaoh found out. He's like, hey, what's going on? How come these babies are still alive? Well, they gave birth so quick that, hey, we couldn't get there in time. That's a lie. They're lying to save their hides. But here's what it says also. It says that therefore God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And that wasn't enough praise. It says, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. So he treated them very well. Now, what was the reason why God made them houses and God was very happy with them? It's because they saved the children. They weren't afraid of Pharaoh. They're like, if he kills us, he kills us, but we're not going to do what he tells us to do. You know, we're going to pretend. Kind of like the old saying, if you got a crazy leader in the military and he tells you to go through the fire, don't be a crazy man and go through a fire. Go around the fire. That's what I was taught. You just say, yes, sir. You just say, yes, sir, right away. And I was told by a very wise sergeant, hey, because we're in combat, it's like, if these officers get a little crazy and they tell you to go through the fire, you just say, yes, sir. They go around that fire, right? And that's kind of what they're doing. They're going around the fire. Why? Because they know it's wicked to kill these babies. They know it is. So God is pleased with them because they're fearing him. It says they fear God. They don't fear him. And of course, you're either going to fear one or the other, either man or God. You can't fear both. It's either God or man. Who are you going to fear? And of course, what did they do? They saved these children alive, but they also lied to save themselves. And not only did they not kill the children, save the children, but they also lied to save themselves. But yet, it doesn't say anything about God being upset with them and punishing them. Why? Because they weren't being deceitful for their own personal gain. They were doing it for what? To help somebody else. To help somebody else get saved. See, their heads were not on the chopping block per se, but they knew, hey, these kids, their heads are on the chopping block. And we're going to do our best to rescue them because they're innocent, they're pure. And you know what? If we perish, we perish. We're going to do the right thing, just like Esther. And that's what ended up happening in the situation. So what is my point? I'll get to that in a second. Let's look at another lie. This is Rahab. Rahab lies to the men of Jericho. He's lying to the men of Jericho. Go to Joshua chapter number 2, if you can. Joshua chapter number 2. And we're almost done. Just a couple more examples, and then we'll wrap it up. I'm 40 minutes into it. Pastor Shelley says I can have an hour. I got 20 more minutes to go. Amen? You're like, man, I thought we were going to get off early. Joshua number 2. If you're not there yet, you can meet me in verse number 5. But I'll start in verse number 1. It says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out Shittim, two men, to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harless house." Kind of like the weirdest place to go when you're doing a recon. But oh well. "They came into a harless house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent out to Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, you know, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, 'Thus, there came men unto him.'" Now Rahab's talking to the men of Jericho. "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she brought them up to the roof of the house and hit them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them, and the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate." Go to 1 Samuel chapter 19. So what do we see? We see Rahab clearly lying her face off. What is she doing? Once again, she's lying because she's trying to save these men, just like the midwives did. She's trying to save life. They're innocent. She knows the truth. My people are wicked. They're serving the right God. Their God's going to take over our nation. We're done as a people. Either get on board or, you know what, then get destroyed. But I'm going to trust that their God is the true God. Look at all the stuff they've done so far. Surely all these victories that they've had, they're from the true God. She believed on the righteous God. And we know that because it says in Hebrews 11:31, "By faith, the harlot Rahab," faith in what? Faith in the Lord. "By faith, the Rahab perished not with them that believe not." So now here's the problem is they didn't believe, you know, when she had received the spies with peace. You know, but obviously what we see is her clearly lying, deceiving the men, getting them to go the opposite direction so these guys have a chance to escape and live to serve God another day and ultimately fulfill God's purpose. You know, so that's what we see. And sure enough, hey, regardless of what people say, it wasn't the lying that got her where she was. It's her actions. Yeah, but how was she able to save them? She saved them through a lie. The facts are, if she had not lied, guess what? Who knows what would have happened? She would have been like, yeah, search the place. They probably would have found them. But in that moment, she did what she had to do. She made a decision, and her intent was to save them. That's what I see when I read it. It's like, hey, she was not trying to be wicked. She was trying to save these men, help these men out. These men are there for a reason. They're righteous men of God. But let's look at a couple more examples, and then I'll wrap it all up. Let's look at where Michal, David's wife, she lies to her father Saul. If you can, go to 1 Samuel 19. And you know what? Just meet me in John 4. Go to John 4. Well, you go to John 4. I'm just quickly going to read some verses when it comes to David's first wife, Michal. It says right here in 1 Samuel 19, "Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him." You guys can go to John 4. It says that Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. So Saul is sending people to go kill David. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So she finds out and she tells her husband, "You're going to die. You're going to be killed. My dad is going to have you killed." And verse 12 says this, "So Michal let David down through a window and he went and fled and escaped." So she saved his life. And not only that, she's trying to get him to just escape as far as possible. You know, it says right here, "And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, 'He is sick.'" She's clearly lying. "And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, 'Bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him.' And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, 'Why hast thou deceived me? Why have you lied to me and sent away my enemy that he has escaped?' And Michal answered Saul, 'He said unto me, let me go. Why should I kill thee?'" So she's like, "Hey, I tried to stop him, but he threatened to kill me, so I let him go." So she lied to save her life, and basically she lied to extend her husband's chances of living longer. You know, so it's clear that's what happened. She lied. She even said, "You deceived me. You lied to me." Then he lies again. "Hey, he threatened to kill me." You know, so sure enough, you know, he escapes. David gets to live and see another day. And, of course, you know the story. He became king, etc., etc. Now let's take a look at the last and final lie. There's a lot of lies, a lot of people that lied in the Bible. I'm just bringing up a few. Just kind of show that there's a lot of examples of lies out there, and they all have a purpose to show you the nature of God is the way I see it. So right now we're going to look at the woman at the well. She lies to the town. People don't know that, but she did. Let's take a look right now. John 4:16, it says this. This is after he meets her, tells her, hey, call your husband. I have no husband. That's right. You don't have a husband. You have a bunch of husbands, and the person that you're with is not your husband. She's like, whoa, I perceive you're a prophet. So you're darn right. And then verse 16 says this. Jesus says unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in a mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh that now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now let me ask you this. Is that what Jesus did? Told her all things she ever did? No. She's exaggerating. Call it whatever you want. She's lying. She's not saying something that's truthful. He just told her, you're an adulterous woman. Get right. That's about it. You know? And she's like, whoa, perceive you're a prophet. She didn't tell him all things ever I did. They didn't have enough time. But she took off, and that's just what happened. That's what happened with Sarah. That's what happened with Eve. It just came out. She's just so excited. She's human. She's just saying what was in her heart. Maybe she just wanted to, like, blow up Christ. She's so excited. She's like, hey, come and see this man. Maybe she felt that, hey, if I can bring people to him, maybe he can, you know, tell them what he told me. And it even says in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. That never happened. It never happened. But they did get saved. They did get saved. So just like Micah lied, saved David's life, here is almost the same thing, but in a spiritual sense. She's not being wicked. She wasn't trying to lie. It just happened. So don't get crazy on people when they say something that's not truthful. Also, they can still get that person saved. Don't correct them, you know? Or it's like, you know, hell is separation from God. Actually, no, it's not. Yeah, I've heard people say that also, Winnie. But if you don't know, hell is now separation from God. You're going to be burning in the presence of the holy angels of God in front of the Lamb, in case you don't know. You know, but some people also say other things that aren't true. But it's not like they're trying to deceive. It just happens, you know. Well, what am I trying to say? What happened to the woman? She still got the job done. God still used her. What happened to Rahab? Yeah, it was in a perfect situation. She did what she had to do. Hey, God blessed her for that. And the midwife, same thing. Michael, same thing. You know, it's like, yeah, they all lied. But what am I trying to show you? Is that, hey, it is what it is. God, he is a balanced God. He is a just God. And he understands things aren't always perfect. You deal with a lot of wickedness in this world. You know what? When things happen, like maybe tell lies, God is looking back, looking at the situation and saying, listen, obviously what happened happened, but I am God. I'm just going to continue to bless you. Because you're doing what's right. You're doing what's right. In other words, yes, lying overall. What does the Bible say about lying? Let's take a quick look. Thou shalt not bear witness against thy neighbor. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Guile is talking about being deceitful. Lying. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Psalms 34:13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Guile is deceit. Guile is lies. Proverbs 10:18. He that hideth hatred of lying lips, and he that slander or uttereth the slander is a fool. Proverbs 14:5. A faithful witness will not lie. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie. Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled to refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. But here's also what the Bible says. 1 Kings 22. It says, the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? and one sat on this manor, and another sat on that manor. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade Ahab. Here God wants to punish Ahab, and he's like, how am I going to do it? There's a spirit that says, hey, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. So why am I bringing this up? To show you that, yes, God hates lies. We should not be people that are known as liars. We should not believe that lying is okay. It's all right. Listen, we all understand that people will say things. They will say things that aren't true. But what's the situation? What is going on? Are they out to deceive? Are they trying to deceive you? If so, you should realize that those people, God is not pleased with them. He's going to be out to punish them. And of course, God uses even lies to punish people. He allows this evil spirit to become a lying spirit to his prophets and gives people over, like it says right here, even when 2 Thessalonians 2:9, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So yes, God cannot lie, but God uses lies to punish people. Bottom line. And when it comes to us as God's people, what's the deal? Well, look at all the stories that you saw. Look at all the examples that you saw. It tells you when not to lie, when to definitely not lie. And if you're going to lie, it better be for something like what happened to David, something that like happened to the woman at the well, where she's not trying to deceive, but she's just doing her best, you know, with what she has, is what it comes down to. So what gives? What gives is simple. You never know. We may come to, you know, to a time when something like this may happen to you, where we're obviously being persecuted. It's an unrighteous, you know, persecution. But by all means, hey, don't make the devil's job easier, you know, by just giving us over to him, you know, just because you're afraid or whatever the case may be. And I don't know about you, but I see a message clear. Lies, bad. Don't be a liar, bad. Don't lie like Abraham, like Laban. Don't be like Jacob. Don't deceive like Laban, you know. But you also see things like Rahab. You also see things like Michael. You also see things like the woman at the well. What gives? Hey, all I can tell you is look at those stories and apply them when you need to apply them. That's all I can tell you. And if you guys ever run to my house, hey, these people are trying to kill me, hide in the basement. They knock on my door. I don't know where he went. I have no clue where the guy is at. And you're like, that would never happen. Well, we were ready for it to happen. Because when I went to a certain country that was persecuting us, and I went there on a quote-unquote black ops under the radar, I was given specific instructions by someone, Pastor Anderson, that told me that, hey, down there, they're out to get you. So if they end up stopping you and questioning you, you don't have to tell them that you know me. You don't have to tell them you're from Faithful Word. Tell them you're from whatever local church. Stay as close to the truth as possible. But those situations, he says, this is what he said, I don't believe it's wrong to lie to get out of that because they're being evil and wicked. Do what you got to do to get yourself out of that situation because they're not giving you a fair shake, so don't give them a fair shake. And do what you have to do to get yourself out of that situation and get out of that country, whatever you have to do. If they press you, you don't know me. If they press you, you're not from Faithful Word. If they press you, you're from whatever Baptist church. Yeah, the liberal one around the corner, you know. But he basically said, that's what I believe based on these stories. And that's all I can tell you right now. Look at the lies in the Bible and use them to guide you. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for everything that you've done, Lord, and we ask you to bless everyone here. Father, thank you so much for this platform. And Father, I hope I help people today, you know, to just kind of get this attitude that, hey, sometimes it's not a perfect situation. As much as we hate lying, you just never know what will come across our paths. But help us to deal with these situations the way we see people in the Bible deal with them. And not to have this holier-than-thou attitude where we say to everyone that lying is never acceptable no matter what. No matter what, it's always wrong. And we should never, ever, ever, ever tell lies. We should never. And not just that, when people do tell lies, if we notice that it was just something that slipped out, not to get all crazy over it, dear Lord, but to, you know, treat it the way you were treated. And we ask you to do all this for your honor and glory in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, go ahead and pull out your hymnals and turn to song number 100, Day by Day. One of my favorites. On the first day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. Cheer me, he whose name